Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our gospel reading this morning is continuing to be from the Gospel of Matthew. It's following along in the lectionary, and this is Matthew 16:13-20. Jesus has moved back to the Sea of Galilee. He was curing some people, and then he got into some difficult situations with some of the religious leaders there, and they were trying to test him and put him on the spot. And he has now moved with his disciples into another district as this passage opens up. And this is someplace that's further north again, and it's more in the Gentile territory. And he is going there with his disciples. So hear these words from the Gospel of Matthew. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Here ends the reading from the Gospel. Well, as we just heard, you know, Jesus starts by asking his disciples who the other people think he is. And these are the masked groups of people who have been following him and bringing people to him to be cured. So sometimes big crowds. A lot going on. And so he asks first to the disciples, either the inner circle type people that come with him. He says, "Who does everyone else think that I am?" And then he quickly turns it around to them and he puts them on the spot. He says, "Who do you think that I am?" Now, this was really a little bit of a putting on the spot because the disciples are still learning who he was and is. And they also still are not sure with their faith. They're loyal followers, but their faith is a little bit in question. And Jesus is still at a point with them where he is asking questions about their faith. And so I will just say the story that we would have heard 2 weeks ago on the lectionary, when Jesus was walking on the sea to try to rescue the disciples in the boat. They were floundering in the boat, and the winds and the waves were frightening them. And at the end of that story, the disciples actually made the proclamation that truly you are the Son of God. They believed that, and they were getting to this point in their faith where they were calling him not just the Son of Man, but also calling him the Son of God. But if you may remember, if you heard this 2 weeks ago, Peter still got called a person of little faith because he's the one who tried to walk to Jesus on the water and he lost his confidence. And Jesus ended up saying, "Well, you are a person of little faith." And now, just before this reading that we had, Jesus also called all of the disciples who were with him people of little faith. And so now he's putting them on the spot with this question. And I can imagine that all the other disciples were thrilled that Peter decided to take the lead in saying what he believed, because that was a very grand statement and it really helped them. And we can see that Peter's faith must have grown. And he said to Jesus, "You are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God." Jesus didn't say that Peter didn't say that Jesus was only a prophet, which was one of the questions if he had been one of the ancient prophets, particularly the really important ones. Maybe he was somehow reincarnated. But Jesus followed the prophetic traditions, and he based some of his ministry on those traditions, and he was a prophet in some way, but he wasn't only a prophet, as we know. And so Peter is making this really wonderful step, and he is saying, you are the Son of the living God, and you are the one people have been waiting for. You are the Messiah, or the Christ, the same word, Messiah or Christ. You are the one that people have been waiting for so long. And then Jesus responded to Peter, and he said, I'm going to build my church on you as a rock. And this is a play on words that you might not get in the English, but the name Peter, actually, the word Peter means rock or stone in Greek. And so Jesus is saying, Peter, rock or stone, Peter, you are going to be the rock upon which I am going to build the church. He didn't put Peter in charge of the church. He's the rock on it. And I would offer for us that this is quite an amazing response at this time in the ministry. Peter is not always a solid rock. He hasn't been a solid rock all along, and he is not going to be one eventually for a while. He was always loyal to Jesus. Everything, in all the crises, he was loyal. But you might remember not only that he was a little afraid on the water, like I would have been too, but later on he's going to deny even knowing Jesus when Jesus is arrested and people ask him if he's one of Jesus' disciples. Peter denies him, but again, ultimately loyal. And for me, I think that this gives reassurance to all of us here that, you know, we don't have to be totally solid rocks or stones. We can be different types of stones and rocks. We don't all have to be the same, but Jesus accepts our faith and allows us to be disciples and comes with us through the faith process. And all of us and all people are welcome to be part of Jesus' church, or else really they should be, even if sometimes they don't feel welcome. Well, it's only in the Gospel of Matthew, no other gospel, including Mark and Luke, who have a shortened version of this story, no other gospel says what Matthew does with respect to Peter. Peter, the other two that have this, Mark and Luke, they just end the story when Peter says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Then it's over with. There's nothing about the rock and building the church. And nothing about Matthew, nothing that Matthew says about going on forward, that he was going to give the keys of the kingdom of heaven to Peter and the churches, and they could bind what needed to be bound or loose what needed to be loosed. None of this is in the other gospels at all. And this is Matthew's unique contribution to his theology about the beginning of the churches. And other parts of the New Testament have other things to say. The book of Acts, of course, we hear about Pentecost. And the Gospel of John has a similar scene, not to the Pentecost, but a little similar to Pentecost and to Matthew, but it's not the same. Certainly, not only with the Pentecost and Acts, but going all the way through the book of Acts and all the letters of Paul and the other letters and books of the New Testament, we hear a lot about the early churches. But this is the place where we hear that Jesus was going to build the church on the rock of Peter. And for me, I've always thought that it's very interesting to read all of the accounts of the early church. I like to read across the New Testament, and I think all of them can be inspired by what the early Christians did in the early churches, and sometimes not so good. But anyway, it's all relevant for us today, even though we're, 2,000 years later. But I especially think, and I think about this from time to time, but I think that what Jesus did, according to Matthew, in giving authority and permission to Peter and the churches to bind things on earth that need to be bound and to loosen things that need to be more liberating, not less liberating. Loosing means you're giving somebody more freedom and rights and liberation. I think that this affirms our efforts in our own time and place to be faithful to who Jesus is, and to be relevant and to do good in the world as we know it today. And I also think that actually one way of answering the question of who we think Jesus is to reflect on things that need to be changed in light of whether or not they fit with our overall beliefs about Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit. Overall beliefs such as, you know, that they bring goodness and grace and love and they're welcoming of people. If we find something in our current lives or the churches or society or the world where people are being left out or being deprived of freedoms, and you can say to yourself, does this fit with what I think Jesus is, who he is, what he does? And then we can decide, we have that permission. We can take the permission from Matthew's account that we go on to decide what we need to do as a congregation, this congregation, other congregations, all together perhaps as denominations. And so I wanted to offer you two examples that I learned about your church. I've only been here 2 weeks, but I did do some reading before I came. I went through your website and read things. And last week, somebody gave me a copy of this 250th anniversary booklet here. And I went through the booklet this week. Very interesting. It's amazing. My home church in Bethel is just a couple years older than yours. They were formed in 1759, but you were originally gathered in 1766. Well, more recently than that, the first thing that I would offer is I read on your website that you are an open and affirming church, and that is true for the congregation in Bethel, where I'm a member. And I remember I didn't lead the ONA process, but when I was part of some of the discussions and then later on, I quite often thought about this passage from Matthew and about Jesus having given permission for churches to make good decisions, churches today on earth, to loosen up things that deprive people of being welcome or affirmed or fully part of the church community. And so open and affirming is the kind of decision that you make in the late 20th century or the 21st century to honor the way that we think Jesus is with people. And then on a even more serious note, I read, and I had never known this before, but I read it in this book, and I also saw a picture of the sign that's out front, I guess, or somewhere. I don't know if it's physically on the property, but it told about back in 1937 that the pastor of this church then and some of the congregation, along with another church and pastor and many people from the town, that they actually did a successful protest against the establishment of a Nazi training camp in Southbury, and I had no idea that that had ever happened. And this is really an excellent example of, because the petition to put that camp there was denied, so they were successful. That is a really serious example of binding up something that needs to be bound. You have to put things like hatred and related evils to hatred and bind it and make sure that they don't escape and that something doesn't go out into the world. And I read in the booklet that among the very important values and traits that were exemplified by the leaders from the churches in the town included refusal to condone groups that promote hate and standing up for what is right. Well, by doing those big things, which may be bigger than things that we normally do, and as well, all the many smaller things that we do in our congregations, when we have to make decisions about what is right or wrong, what needs to be bound or loosened, what needs to be changed in other ways, we are making statements of who we think Jesus is, what we think Jesus would do, and what we think Jesus thinks we should do. And these statements and our actions embody who we think Jesus is, and that's how we share it with each other and share with the world. And it's one way of answering the question when Jesus asked people, or if you imagine Jesus asking you, who do you think I am? And you can say, well, I think you're the kind of person who would want, not a person, but the person and the God and your ministry, you would like us to do this. And we answer and live out that thing. Well, I'm just with you for a short time more, and I've been here 2 weeks, and I wanted to offer you a couple of blessings for the next stage of your journey with the Reverend Jeff Lukens. I do know Jeff. He was very influential in me becoming a second career minister. He was the head of the church and ministry committee for at least two terms, so about 6 years, while I was coming through the preordination process. And I took my time coming through it because I was doing it while I was working in my first career. But he was very influential, and I know him. And I am very excited that you as a congregation, I've only met you for 2 weeks, but I see so much caring and energy. And I'm excited that you and Jeff Lukens and his family, that you're going to be taking the next step of your journey together. And I hope you make wonderful decisions about everything, and big and small, and that you think about how you live out your congregational life together. And I really do appreciate the welcome that you gave me. And I also learned just a little bit about you, but it was enough to know that you have a vibrant life here, and I appreciate that. And so I would offer you in closing, may you feel the love of Christ and the Spirit and God with you always on your journey and as you continue to move together into the future, but still grounded in the present and the past. Amen.